Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this time now that we can come and we can open your word. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit will move among our hearts and our minds to give us what we need to learn out of this lesson, and that we will apply it to everything that we do, Lord, keeping our focus entirely on you, not only now, Lord, but in the days to come. We thank you, and I ask that you remove me from it and let your Spirit speak through the word for itself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, as Brother Allen said, many of you were here yesterday for Brother Wayne's memorial service. And it's an amazing thing when a godly man or a godly woman is sent home, because we do a lot of looking back. We don't really look forward during the funeral, with one exception. And his grandson who preached yesterday made this exception very clear. The exception is, we as Christians not only have good stuff we can look back on, but a future in eternity to look forward to. A grand reunion of all those who are in Christ. And folks, the older I get, the more attractive that reunion becomes. That's not saying I don't love God's creation and I don't love the things that He blesses us with here, but it is to say that, you know, at some point we have to stop looking back and we have to look forward, because there's nothing here left for us as Christians. There's just the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. We heard that yesterday. How true that is. But you know, I want to include, if you are a Christian, to be in the body is also to be with the Lord. For as long as He has us here, as long as He has tasks for us to do, as long as we have a world around us, yes, we will miss those who happen to go ahead of us. But the realization that they are there waiting for us, along with the presence of the Lord, gives us hope. And in that hope, we can look back and we can look forward. We can give God praise for everything that we look behind us. 2023, corporately as a society, folks, this year kind of stunk. All the stuff that's going on in this world, the vast majority of it's not very godly, is it? But what is the constant? The constant is God is still in control. God is still sovereign over this universe. And even though mankind makes bad decisions and bad choices, He will not change. And we can thank Him for that. But in the same token, as we look forward to 2024 and the years past that, we take that same knowledge that He does not change, and we have that confirmation that He will be with us throughout anything that the world, the flesh, and the devil will throw at us. Whether it be the loss of a loved one or a loss of a job or sickness or even great bounty, great blessing, and great wealth, either way, we can look forward. But we have certain things we praise God for, that we remember what God has done for us. And that's why we're going to be in Psalm 30 today. This is going to be a take on what King David had to say about what God has done for him and will do for him. So as we look back on 2023 and go, whew, surprise, we got through that one, and look forward to 2024, we're going to find reasons to praise God even more so in the time to come. So let's go to Psalm 30. I'll be reading out of the King James today. Psalm 30. And here we go. I will extol Thee, O Lord, for Thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. O Lord, Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endureth but a moment, in His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall not be moved. Lord, by Thy favor Thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide Thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to Thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise Thee? Shall it declare Thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be Thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. How important that one little praise is for all of those that know Him. And since this is the last day of the year, and how many of y'all saw the jokes about this is the 1-2-3-1-2-3 day? Y'all saw that, right? Yep. This is the last day of the year. And I wanted simply in this sermon to praise God for what He's done for us. Now, starting next Sunday, and a few weeks after that, we're going to be in the book of Revelation. We're going to take some of the biggest themes and the prophecies and things and look at those. We're going to do that up for about a couple of months, about eight or ten sermons, and then we're going to move to something else. But that's for then. Right now, we're going to praise the Lord for what He has done and what He is doing for us today. Now, this psalm gives multiple reasons to praise the Lord, and I wanted to go through that with you guys. Let's start back at verse 1 through 3. I will extol Thee, O Lord, for Thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. Number 3, O Lord, Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down into the pit. King David praises Yahweh. Remember, when you read, especially the older King James versions, and Lord is capitalized, L-O-R-D, that is the word Yahweh. It's been changed to Jehovah over the years with the German Bibles and things like that, and that's where we get the word Jehovah, but it means Yahweh, which is God's personal name. And he praises him for giving him victory over his foes and for healing. We know that King David, by the time he wrote this, he was king, and that all the things that he had been through, you know, he had to fight Saul and the Philistines a couple times, and then he had the problems in his own household. He was praising God that his enemies had been taken care of. And he praised God for the healing. Now, other than some psychological factors, we don't really know of any big diseases that King David had, but I'm sure he had problems like every other man has. He probably got up in the morning and was kind of sore and stiff and too much, you know, partying with the troops the night before or whatever, you know, and he thanked God for healing him. But he also thanked him for keeping him alive. All these enemies that had sought his death. You remember when he was playing the lyre, the little harp thing for King Saul, and Saul got so aggravated, an evil spirit came upon him, and he took that spear and he chucked it at David. And he barely escaped. We see all these things, and we understand why David would praise the Lord for these. But what about us? How does this affect us? Well, God through Christ has given us the ultimate healing. You know, that's one thing that a lot of people really have difficulty with. When a loved one of theirs is suffering and we pray for healing, we pray, Lord, just bring him back to what he was. And I understand that. But you know, brothers and sisters, when you're transfer out of this life and into the presence of God, that is the ultimate healing. For then there is no more sickness, there is no pain, there is no death. It is you and the source of all life, God Almighty. And it's not a permanent thing. It's a temporary thing because at some point when He comes back to this earth, we're going to get our new bodies and we're going to be 100% what God wanted us to be, physically as well as spiritually. And we're going to rule and reign with Him forever and ever and ever. So the death and the graveyard and the those are all temporary things. For a Christian, the grave is a rental. It's basically what it is. And we take hope in that. So the victory that David cried for, we have also, but we have it in a greater way. Because it's not just over men or machines or situations. It's over death itself. The ultimate enemy of life. And we give glory to God. Even if we physically die, we still have that victory over death and the grave. And aren't those, as I said, our real enemies? If death is the separation from life, then a Christian who is with the source of all life for all eternity should have no fear over physical death. Now, yes, of course, there's ways we don't want to die. I've said over and over, I don't want to get eat by no critter. Don't want to die in a fire. I mean, there's ways I don't want to die. But you know, I'm not scared. Now, folks, I have a little bit of an advantage over some of y'all. Now, all of us in here, almost all of us, have seen death face to face. But I saw it on a regular basis. I stared it straight in the eye. I was trying my best. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't believe a Christian paramedic prays, they pray every time they help somebody. Because there's some things I remember that there's no way that person could have survived without the intervention of the Almighty. And we see it, and we're not afraid. And isn't that a wonderful blessing? You see, as was brought out in the funeral yesterday, we mourn, but we don't mourn the way the world mourns. We mourn in a temporary way. It's like if you break your leg, you hurt, but eventually it heals. As a Christian, when we mourn, and it could be any reason, it could be death, loss of relationship, loss of job, it could be any minute, because mourning comes in many different flavors. But it's temporary. Because our faith in Christ, Christ Himself, gives us the victory over these things, gives us the ultimate healing. We have no fear of physical death. We look forward during these times in the hope of the glorification through Jesus Christ and eternal salvation that He has provided us. We will not go down into the pit. We will not go down into the grave. Why? It's very simple. To be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. The Old Testament saints had to go to a temporary holding place. Some people call it Hades. It just means the grave. But we don't. Now our bodies will collapse into dust. We'll turn to the earth. But God is able, with one blow of a trumpet, to raise us up in physically, and for our souls and our spirits to be reunited. And thus we will be with the Lord forever and ever. We can praise God for that knowledge. And when we are resurrected, we can shout hallelujah. Do you remember at Lazarus' tombside? And I believe it was Martha. When Jesus came up to him, Mary was still in the house. And Jesus looked at her. And she came and ran and said, "Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would have not died." And she said, he said, "Your brother shall live again." And she said, "I know he's going to live again in the resurrection of us all." And he looked her square in the eye and said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Folks, we've got to believe that because it's true. Not just because we want to believe it, because it's true. There's people that want to believe the moon is made out of green cheese. Doesn't make it true. But what Christ has said is true. And isn't the truth the only thing that we have. The world can take everything else away, but it cannot take the truth away. So let's move on to verse 4. Verse 4 in Psalm 30. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endureth but a moment, in His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Now see, we as believers in Jesus Christ are the saints of God. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're in Christ, you're a saint. Now that's not me saying that. That's the Bible. Colossians 1:2 is a good example. Paul calls the believers the saints. And thus we are. We can sing because we are the saints. We can sing a new song that we hear about in Jesus. We can give thanks for His holiness that we achieve through faith in Christ and not ourselves. For folks, every one of us in here that would be truthful understand that we have no good in our own, on our own. We are born willing to choose sin. But folks, the only time that changes is when Christ removes the sting, the punishment, the deserved punishment that we have because of that sin. And we're happy. We're joyful. We rejoice because we know that He took our sin upon Himself. You see, we can't take sin upon ourselves. Why? Because we have our own sin. But Christ knew no sin. He had no sin. Thus, He could take others' sins upon Himself. And because He was God the Son, He could take the sins of the whole world upon Him and deal with them on the cross. Does that mean everybody's saved? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. You have to believe. You have to have faith. You have to realize that it's Christ that paid the penalty that you owe to God. And we thank Him because we could not do it on our own. You see, David talks about God's anger enduring for a moment. He should know, shouldn't he? Oh, David, man, David made some bad choices, even though he had a heart for God. You know he was a man of war. You know he was a man of bloodshed. You know he had a wandering eye. He had all that stuff. And God disciplined him several times. In fact, one time one of his own children died, or a baby died because his baby with Bathsheba passed. Because of his sin. And then he had all the other stuff going on in his household with his kids and his, you know, one wanted to become king and didn't want the other one. And then his one son messed with his sister. I mean, it was all kind of stuff. We're going to get to that when we study here pretty quickly on Sunday nights. But yet, the father never gave up on him, did he? God never gave up on King David. And he never gives up on one that belongs to him. And if that's you, brother and sister, you can rest assured from this time backwards and this time forward that you are in the hands of Almighty God. And Romans 8 tells us that nothing, absolutely nothing, including yourself, cannot take you out of the hands of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the way we need to walk into this new year, fully trusting in Him, not ourselves, not government, not schools, not education, not ability, not talent. Him. He will give you all that you need through all those things. But He is the source of life. It's an amazing thing. David had faith in God. And he got through all those hard times. And we have faith in the same God through a better mediator than the law. We have Jesus Christ. But we're still disciplined when we stray. Job 5:17 says, blessed is the one whom God corrects, so do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. How many times have y'all messed up and God has disciplined you? Be honest. Didn't feel good when you were going through it, did it? Made you question your own sanity and why is God doing this to me? But folks, if He's bringing you back to Him, do not despise the discipline of God. He might use an outside source. He might use the loved one. He might use a hymn in church. He might use a scripture you hear on the radio or you read in the Bible. He might use a good friend that comes up to you and say, are you nuts? He might. Do not despise the discipline of the Lord. Because He loves you, He disciplines you. And Proverbs 3:11 through 12 says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves. As a father, the son He delights in. We're guaranteed that if it is God who is allowing us, and sometimes the discipline is because He allows the consequences of our bad choices to bear fruit, and you got to take a bite of that sour apple, He loves us. And He allows that hard time to bring us back into Him. And if you love Him, He will do that in this upcoming year. But we are to love Him for it because He loves us. This discipline, however, as the verse says, does not last forever. The pain of life does not last forever either. God's blessing indeed comes after that long night of weeping. In fact, if you go in our kitchen, one of the picture frames that Miss Sharon put up, you know, she takes those pictures and she put them up. One of them is a nice sunset, and it has this that says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning, on the frame. And what's very interesting is right after we got news that Wayne had passed, I was walking back in the kitchen and I saw two photos. And I saw the one that right there by the door where he's sitting on the rocks and the river's flowing in front of him. And it brought me to mind, you know, we in life, we sit and we watch life flow past us. But at some point, you got to get up and cross the river. At some point, you got to stop watching and engage and move forward. And then the other one was what I just said. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And when you cross that river, joy is there. But you see, you can have that joy now. You can have that experience with Christ now. You can love Him harder this coming year and more pure than you've ever have if you will set your mind to it. And let the Spirit of God lead you, focus you, and help you. You see, whether due to the discipline we talked about applied to us by a loving Father or due to worldly oppression upon the child of God, His grace is sufficient to see us through to the morning. And that's one of the most wonderful things. Some of you have heard me do this before in some of the funerals that I've done here. You know, those that know Christ are going to experience that morning. And this is a different kind of mourning. This is not mourning. This is moring. Different kind of mourning when the sun breaks. And so one of the things for a Christian brother or sister that has passed, that is lying here in a coffin or a urn, we don't say goodbye. We say goodnight. See you in the morning. How many times have we said that in life? But it's the same we can say in physical death. Good night. See you in the morning. You see, weeping lasts but a night. Joy comes in the morning. On the day that the trumpet sounds and the morning breaks, eternal, bright, and fair. and all the saints are gathered over on the other shore. And that roll is called up yonder. I'll be there, but guess what? He's going to call the roll down here too. All the saints of God, past and present, are going to be with the Lord forever and ever. Amen. That's why we have joy in the morning. And when that joy does come, we realize the goodness of God. Then even more we're able to stand in the tempest of evil winds that swirl around us. Thus not only in the dark of night will we cry unto the Lord, but in the brightness of day we will stand in our faith as unmovable children of God. Notice what he said. He said that in his, making sure I get it right, in my prosperity I shall not be moved. Now, we understand when hard times are coming in the world, socking it to you. I remember y'all remember what sock it to me means. Okay, we'll talk about being old later, all right? But anyway, it's coming at you from all different directions. And you can stand there, my anchor is planted. That's wonderful. But what about when all the good things are happening and all the blessings are happening and God has given you everything you need and you recognize it and all the joy and happiness and all that stuff? Can you still be unmovable? A lot of folks fall then. Well, I've got all I need. I don't need God anymore. Seems the Bible tells me about this man who tore down a bunch of barns to build other barns. Because he said, my soul doesn't need anything anymore. And what happened? God called him a fool. When you have great blessing, still remain planted in what God has given you, and you will achieve a joy that few can have on this earth. Verse 7 goes, Lord, by thy favor thou hast made me my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made my supplication. Now this is simple. When we lose sight of God, we're troubled. Think about when you have an earthly problem, and I don't mean, you know, you stubbed your toe. I mean a real problem. Okay? How far do you feel from God? You make a bad decision. You make a bad investment. You make a bad choice in a relationship. You sin. God doesn't feel like He's standing right beside you. Now, He's there. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But you have turned your back a little bit, and His face is hidden from you. What do you do? You turn around. You refocus. You pray. God will bless you. He will forgive you. You still may have to go through some of the consequences of your bad choices. But He will be there. He will be there for you. You can cry unto Him. He alone, God alone, do we beg and plead for things that we believe are best for us. But sometimes what we believe is best for us is not what really is best for us. But God knows. He has this stuff planned out a long time in advance. He knows what's best for His people. And if we focus on Him, He will make it clear. So in this new year, focus on Christ. All these other things, business, job, school, all that, you know, health, all that stuff, it's going to be there. But if you focus on God, you will realize He's there with you in it. If you think you're in it by yourself, that's a lonely place. That's a lonely place. And it not need to be. Because we have a God who hears prayer, who answers prayer, who starts prayer. You ever had God start a prayer for you? You're going along just minding your own business and something will happen and all of a sudden, holy mackerel, Lord, thank you, or Lord, help me, something. He starts a prayer. And then the Spirit utters things that we didn't even understand to God. The Spirit moans for us. And only way that God understands. That's the book of Romans. You can read it for yourself and see. We can rest assured that God is there where He's always been. And we have something. We have a God, a real God, the only God that the world cannot turn to unless they turn in repentance and faith. Verse 9 says, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Now, King David believed that his death would be senseless because he could no longer praise God from the grave. In fact, he could praise God more in life than he can in his death. We, on the other hand, as we said, are not really afraid of death. You know, sometimes the way we die and the legacy we leave behind are greater witnesses to God than what we did during our life. Now, how can that be? Well, a quiet man who's not given the gift of evangelism and not very boastful, and he lives a good life and he does what God's called him to do, and he does things for people, and he loves his children, loves his grandchildren. A lady that lives a long and fruitful life and is blessed and hugged and squeezed cheeks, you know, and all that good stuff their whole life, and have just blessed others. And then they pass. Believers, of course. Think about the remember. You think of somebody that is passed, that every time you think of them, you smile. I won't tell you one. Y'all remember Brother Ron that lived out in here, and he was on his scooter? And man, I'll tell you, he was a shipmate of mine. He liked to tell me and him would swap swabby stories all the time, and he would show me newspaper clippings, and I'd get him a little Navy cup when I'd go to meetings and stuff, and he was a shipmate of mine. And every time I think of him, now I did not know him outside the church. Y'all knew him a lot longer than I knew him, so I might be off base. I don't think I am, though. But he and him, me, when I saw him, he'd smile, and when he saw me, I'd smile. And we'd get out there and we'd sit and talk, and we'd pal around. And when I think of him now, even though he's been passed this year and plus, I remember a godly legacy. And it is a remaining witness to the goodness of God through a person. And there's been many other people at this church. You know, I know I'll miss somebody if I don't say all of them, but I remember Miss Velma, and Miss Velma would smile at me, and she would just grin from ear to ear, and she was so happy to come to church when she came. That was a blessing. You know, Brother Earl would come in, and he'd say, "Preacher, you look good enough to put in a coffin." I said, "Well, thank you, Brother Earl. I appreciate that." See, in Mississippi, we say you look good enough to bury. That must be a cowboy term, look good enough to put in a casket or something. But you see, there's so many people that y'all have known that I have not known, but many that I have known that are legacy testimonies. And it is because God was important in their life. Thus, we shall make God important in our lives. For when we leave, we want people to remember what God did. Now, it's great if they remember us too. But their focus should be on what God did with us. Amen? You know, we're not afraid of death. We know that death was not God's ideal from the beginning. Thus He, from the foundation of the world, had the Lamb slain to make it possible for all those who believed in Him to have everlasting life. The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world according to Scripture. Thus, even in our deaths, the truth of God's glory is sometimes openly declared to all those who will see and hear what? The truth. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. But I also say the life of His saints help those seeds too. It's an amazing thing to live a good life. The blood of the martyrs, as I said, is the seed of the church. The life of the saints helps those seeds grow. And you know, God does not desire that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's 2 Peter 3:9. God wants people to love Him and to love each other. By this they will know that you are my disciples, that ye love one another. Gospel of John. Do we love each other? I would say this congregation, You know, with a few exceptions out there, which I won't name, ha ha ha, it's very easy to love you folks. Why? Because you're loving. You pray with each other. You care for each other. You fill this house when those have passed many times. It's important that we carry this forward because you see, in this year to come, I pray, and I'm going to bug you till you do it, that we extend that love out to those who need it out there who may not be here, but we're going to go out into the fields and the roads and do as the King commanded and bring them. You know, half the people that say they don't come to church because no one's ever invited them. And then sometimes you see, well, something happened to me in church. You know, that guy's been dead 30 years. You love on people. You tell them the truth of the gospel. You plant the seed. And God will water it and make it grow. We'll get all of that in coming up in January. You see, the fact that God does not desire anyone to perish means that those that love Him are not afraid. We are His children. We are made alive through Christ forever. No ifs, ands, or buts. Brothers and sisters, that's something to hang on to in this new year. Because folks, I just got this feeling. You think since 2020 has been bad, it's going to get worse. Now, I hope it doesn't. But I just got one of those funny feelings. The world is going nuts. It really is. Not something we should be afraid of. Because the Bible tells us the world is going to go nuts. To prepare for it. To be ready for it. To stand firm in the gospel while it's going on. So that brings us to the last few verses. Verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. Excuse me. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Now we, like David, ask God for mercy and His help. I ask it all the time, and I really believe most of y'all ask it all the time. Because we need it. We need His mercy. We need His help. I can stand before you today and declare that He is faithful to this fact. He has mercy upon me and has helped me in moments where He was all I had. And folks, that's been in many different kind of situations with me. One of the greatest things I believe that God has given me is life experience. I've done some things, told y'all about a few of them, that really make God's existence real to me. You know, it's very possible that if I went out and interviewed you, you could tell me very similar stories of God being faithful to you. Now, sometimes I will admit He's told me no. You know, and there's that old Garth Brooks song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. Because sometimes, especially when we're young, we don't know what we're doing half the time. See, when you're old, you only don't know what you're doing a quarter of the time. When you're young, it's half the time. And when you're a child, it's 75% of the time. I heard a comment out there I'm not going to repeat. But anyway, when we understand that God's no is actually a blessing to us, when we get down the road, we realize that things that we had thought were going to be or things that we desired and wanted were not what God's plan was for us. See, when I joined the Navy, I wanted to be a hero. That was back in the days of Rambo and all that stuff, and I wanted to come home a wall of medals with a man pin behind it. Okay? Didn't achieve that. I was on a submarine. Don't get a lot of combat medals on a submarine. But when He got me out of that, He put me in a position, because I said, Lord, just let me help people. So one night I was sitting at the sound booth at the church that I was at in my hometown, and a lady who lived across the street got run over and hit by a car and broke her leg. Well, I heard the yell, and we ran out there, and I got a couple old magazines and a couple of handkerchiefs from some people in the church, and I made a little splint for her leg, and the ambulance guy come up, wanted to know who did that, and I said, well, I did it, and he said, you did a good job. We need an ambulance driver. You want a part-time job? Because I was in college at the time to be a teacher. I said, sure. So the next 17 years, I was on an ambulance. I went through paramedics, finished my 2-year degree, went through paramedic school, which was a year and a half, got my paramedic license, and I did that, became a certified firefighter, did that. Rode rescue trucks, got to play Johnny Gage and Roy DeSoto. How many remember those guys? Amen. Got to run the jaws of life and the cutters, took cars apart like they were tin cans, pulled people out of fires, pulled them out of lakes, pulled them out of everything. And pulled a little everything out of people too sometimes. Bullets and sticks and knives and all kind of stuff like that. I helped people. Delivered babies. I've delivered more babies in some emergency room positions. I got the scars to prove it. One last time it happened, this girl put her claws into my arm and I slapped her hand. I said, I didn't do this to you. Quit. And I got to help a lot of people. But that was all in preparation. You see, I really didn't want to be a teacher. Guess what God's allowed me to do? He's allowed me to teach right now. He's allowed me to teach other ways too. God has brought everything in my life up to this moment, and I'm thankful. You see, He turned my mourning into dancing. He turned my, oh, woe is me. I ain't done nothing. I'm just some podunk from central Mississippi. I ain't going to do nothing but pick cotton and eat watermelon the rest of my life. Folks, if you give yourself over to God, He will let you have the desires of your heart. A couple examples. Always wanted to go to England. That's where my ancestry's from, England, Scotland, and Ireland. Guess what? Went on a mission trip to England for 2 weeks with my bride. This was B.C., before Christine. So, I got to do that. I always wanted to fly an airplane. Couldn't get a pilot's license because of my eyes. Well, guess what? Ran into a gentleman that was a pilot in one of the churches I was working at, and he let me fly an airplane. So I got that off my checklist. I wanted to go and follow God to places I'd never been before. I ended up in Kansas City. Yeah. So, this or New Orleans. I chose the best one. Because God chose it for me. I've told y'all that story before. If you give yourself over to God, He will grant you the desires of your heart if your desires are to follow Him and to be obedient. You see, He turned my mourning into dancing. He girded me with gladness. Folks, y'all know that I'm one of the silliest people you ever want to meet. Brother Allen can tell you, man, nine times out of ten, I have a joke for him when he comes in on Thursday night for karate class. And guys, they're some of the worst thinkers you ever want to hear. But those are the best kind, aren't they, brother? Amen. It's funny because I've always told people, if I lose my sense of humor, I'm dead. Because God has given me gladness in my heart. Silliness, when appropriate. Somberness when necessary. Always joyful. And like David said, He girded me with gladness. And He said, all the glory to the end, verse 12, to the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee. What does that mean? All the things that God allowed King David to have, instead of bringing glory to David, which he did have, but that was like a side thing, the glory went to God. All the things that He has given us, life, family, home, occupation, future, eternal life, brings glory to God. Because without Him, we sure wouldn't earn it. In fact, I heard a guy say this week, or actually I read it, and you've probably read this before, that said, you know, if we could lose our salvation, we already would have. If it was up to us, we couldn't be saved. But it's not up to us. It's up to Him who carried that cross up Calvary's hill, who lived a perfect sinless life and died bearing the weight of the world, the sins of the world upon Him, but did not just die, was raised again to life eternal, so that He would be the first fruits and we would have everything else. The glory belongs to God. And for that reason, David said, And not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. When I've trusted Him, He has turned my mourning into dancing. When I've lost friends or family, and I know they love Jesus, the goodbyes we said turns into I'll see you in the morning, but that goes well beyond just death. It goes into life. We can look forward to this new year. We can praise God for what He's done and for what He's doing and for what He has already done for us in the future. See, that's one thing people can't get their minds around. God lives outside of time. Okay? He created time. You build a house, you're not part of the house, are you? They don't stick you over the fireplace, do they? You can't look at the house as a builder if you are actually part of the house. God lives outside of time because He created time. And the Bible tells us He sees the beginning and the end at the same time. So what He has prescribed for us, although we may not know it, and part of the fun is discovering it through faith and trust and obedience and prayer, His blessings are already dedicated for us. The condition is we must be obedient to Him. And then He will reveal it to us. Do you see, that gives me hope, because I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him, my life, my soul, my very being, my existence. He will keep until that day. What is that day? The day the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. Because God is going to destroy time into an everlasting eternity. Folks, that's what we have to look forward to. But we also have to look forward to between now and that time. How will we live our lives? How will we bless others? How will we not give thanks unto Him for all that He has given? David said it. I will give thanks unto Thee forever. We will give thanks unto God forever. Certainly when we're before the throne of God. Why not now? Why don't we give thanks for getting us through what we've been through so far and for propelling us into what lies ahead? Because He's not going to leave. He didn't leave us then. He ain't going to leave us now. He will not go against His will or His character. And His will is that no one should perish, but all to come to repentance. We will come to repentance. We have, if we believe in Jesus Christ. And we will look forward, because His mercies are new every morning, aren't they? The God of Israel, who is our God, does not sleep, nor does He slumber. He's going to stay awake. He's going to be with us. He's going to walk with us. He's going to run with us. He's going to weep with us. He's going to rejoice with us. He's going to do all these things because He's part of us. We are part of Him, more correctly. Brothers and sisters, that's what we have to look forward to in 2024. So, even though we may be tempted not to give thanks, let us give thanks to Him forever, because He alone is worthy to be praised. So, to answer our original question, for what shall we give thanks and praise unto God? You saw what David said. Now let's go and do it for ourselves, through the Holy Spirit, through what Christ has done for us. And we can say, what do we give praise and thanks for? For all things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Y'all forgive me for being a little wobbly. I think my cold medicine's starting to wear off. But thank everyone for being here today. I just want to say that, again, thank you for what was done for our family this Christmas season. And I just want you to know that we love you. And it is an honor and a privilege to serve you guys as pastor and pastor family. And we look forward to what God is going to do in this church this coming year and the great blessings that He will bestow upon you as you continue to love and walk in His ways. Let's stand.